Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, guess which debater came dressed as the peace candidate last night? Guess again. We'll play clips in a minute and talk to NPR's Michelle Kellerman. Also today, Liz Winstead, one of the founders of The Daily Show, a star of political comedy in her own right. 30 issues in 30 days, issue 24 today on defending and not defending marriage. And we'll return to the debate in a unique way later in the show, a call-in for immigrants from anywhere on how this world affairs debate sounded to you with respect to your country of origin. First, though, I'm going to take 60 seconds to do my Pledge Week duty here and remind you that we are in the home stretch of our fall membership drive. It ends tomorrow. We hope everyone will donate $5 or $10 a month to WNYC or whatever is right for you to help keep independent, not-for-profit radio growing here in the New York area. And as an extra incentive to get everyone on board on this penultimate day, we have one last contest for this membership drive that you've been hearing about, and it ends at noon. If you pledge by noon, you will automatically be entered to win $4,000 in travel vouchers from the online travel agency Viama.com. How cool is that? Use them all at once or use them over time. They're good for travel just about anywhere, hotel, airfare, however you want to use them if you're the lucky winner. But the travel voucher contest ends at noon, so get your pledges in right now. If you're going to support the station anyway, might as well have a chance at all this free travel. And I know you don't have to pledge to enter, but we hope you will at 1-888-433-WNYC, 1-888-976-WNYC, 1-888-976-9692. Am I blowing the phone number all over the place? 376. See, I'm getting our on-air phone number and our pledge line all mixed up today. Forgive me. 1-888-376-WNYC. Don't call anybody else thinking they're us. 1-888-376-9692. Forgive me. Or pledge online at WNYC.org. Can't blow the web address. And thank you so much. Now, which man came to last night's debate dressed as the peace candidate?
I congratulate him on taking out Osama bin Laden and going after the leadership in Al-Qaeda. But we can't kill our way out of this mess. We're going to have to put in place a very comprehensive and robust strategy to help the world of Islam and other parts of the world reject this radical, violent extremism, which is, it's certainly not on the run. It's certainly not hiding.
We can't kill our way out of this. Who expected that from Mitt Romney at the very beginning of the foreign policy debate? With me now, NPR diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kellerman. Hi, Michelle. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Nice to be here, Brian.
And many commentators have noted already that Romney seemed to be attacking Obama from the left on that idea that you can't kill your way out of terrorism and we have to help Muslim countries more to build civil societies. Thank you, Howard Dean. Is it clear what Romney meant by that?
Well, you know, he used that line mainly to talk about the need for a real strategy to counter extremism. But interestingly, the strategy he's proposing sounds a lot like what the U.S. is at least trying to do, and that is to support moderate voices in the Arab world.
Has Obama been weak on that aspect of engagement in some way that Obama pointed out or that his people pointed out after the debate? Because he seemed to say we should do more in terms of civil society construction and help for Muslim countries than Obama is doing.
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems is that for instance, economic aid to Egypt is being held up by Republicans right now on Capitol Hill because there's a Muslim Brotherhood government in Egypt. So, you know, it's a lot more complicated than it seems, and neither man really said what more they can do. And a lot of analysts point out that the U.S. really isn't in the driver's seat in a lot of these transitions, you know, like it or not.
Well, maybe they'll give Romney a Nobel Peace Prize, anticipating what a peace president might do. No, they'd never do that. And he continued that tone in what, to me, in all seriousness, was the most newsworthy moment of the debate, at least to me, in which Romney seemed to fully embrace President Obama's plan to withdraw U.S. combat forces from Afghanistan by 2014. Listen.
Well, we're going to be finished by 2014. And when I'm president, We'll make sure we bring our troops out by the end of 2014. The commanders and the generals there are on track to do so. We've seen progress over the past several years. The surge has been successful, and the training program is proceeding apace. There are now a large number of Afghan security forces, 350,000, that are ready to step in to provide security, and we're going to be able to make that transition by the end of 2014. So our troops will come home at that point.
Michelle, I was stunned by every line in that answer. We're now ready to bring them home by 2014. The transition is proceeding apace. The Afghan military will be ready by 2014. The surge, the Obama surge, was successful. Wow. How much of that was new for Romney last night?
Well, he was certainly much more definitive on that issue last night. I mean, even just a month ago, he was talking about how he would consult with the generals to determine whether or not to pull out by that date. It depends on the situation on the ground. But, you know, this is a war-weary country, and I'm not sure that's an issue that really is a vote-getting one for him. So we did hear him a lot last night, not just on Afghanistan, but, you know, President Obama has been trying to paint Governor Romney as someone who's likely to draw the U.S. into conflicts, whether it's Iran or Syria. And you heard Governor Romney last night talking about, you know, how he wants peaceful solutions, much more in the Middle East and especially in Iran.
Political analysis. It looks like Obama came to try and stop Romney's forward momentum in the polls, and it sounds like Romney, whose clips we've been playing so far, came to reassure women in Ohio, and I'm serious, women in Ohio, because it seems to be all coming down to Ohio, that he's not a warmonger. That's what all this peacenik stuff was about, I'm pretty sure. Michelle, is it too off your beat to comment on that?
No, I mean, he did. This was Mitt Romney coming to the middle for sure. I mean, you didn't hear him. You heard him on being much more cautious on things. For instance, Syria. He was asked, would you impose a no-fly zone? And he said, look, I don't want to get involved militarily. So while he's trying to accuse the Obama administration of being weak on Syria, not doing enough to support the opposition, again, there, the policies he was proposing was not much different.
All right. I want to play a clip of Romney from earlier yesterday before the debate when he, more typically for him, was accusing Obama of being weak on the military.
The size of our Navy is at levels not seen since 1916. I'll restore our Navy to the size needed to fulfill our missions by building 15 ships per year, including 3 submarines.
Romney from yesterday. And now listen, folks, to Obama tee off on that 1916 reference in the debate last night.
But I think Governor Romney maybe hasn't spent enough time looking at how our military works. You mentioned the Navy, for example, and that we have fewer ships than we did in 1916. Well, Governor, we also have fewer horses and bayonets because the nature of our military has changed. We have these things called aircraft carriers where planes land on them. We have these ships that go underwater, nuclear submarines. And so the question is not a game of battleship where we're counting ships. It's what are our capabilities?
One of the many examples of Obama coming to insult Romney as much as he could, coming to fight at the debate, and NPR diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kellerman. Again, I have to look at this in electoral terms. They may each believe in their size of the Navy positions for military and budgetary reasons, but Virginia is one of the big three swing states, and it has the big Navy base in Norfolk and a big shipbuilding industry near there. Florida has some, too. Is that behind Romney's Navy buildup, and how new is that?
He's been talking about that for some time, and that certainly is part of the politics here. I would note that President Obama has been trying to show that Mitt Romney is really out of step with what the military needs and wants. That he's been talking about much bigger defense increases that the military isn't even asking for. And just a little side note on that bayonets and horses line, which has gotten a lot of attention and was one of the comical highlights of the night. My colleague who covers the Pentagon pointed out that some U.S. special forces did ride in on horseback into Afghanistan. So it was a good thing that President Obama said fewer horses and not none, because otherwise the fact checkers might have gotten him on that one.
Right. But he was making a point about a big Navy being anachronistic.
That's right. I mean, the types of ships that the U.S. had in 1917 are not the ones that you're going to need now. And the ones we have now are these huge behemoths, such as aircraft carriers, nuclear-powered submarines. This is a much different Navy.
On the flip side of the politics, you think Obama just lost Virginia last night, comparing the Navy to horses and bayonets?
That's hard. That's a hard one to call.
We will find out. All right, one more key exchange from last night. This is on Israel, and we're going to play an extended excerpt here, about 2 minutes. And again, with Florida in play and lots of retired Jews living there, you knew this would be an issue. And both men were passionate on the subject. It came up in the context of Romney's claim that Obama, as president, went on an anti-U.S. apology tour.
Mr. President, the reason I call it an apology tour is because you went to the Middle East and you flew to Egypt and to Saudi Arabia and to Turkey and Iraq. And by the way, you skipped Israel, our closest friend in the region. But you went to the other nations. And by the way, they noticed that you skipped Israel. And then in those nations, and on Arabic TV, you said that America had been dismissive and derisive. You said that on occasion, America had dictated to other nations. Mr. President, America has not dictated to other nations. We have freed other nations from dictators.
Bob, let me respond. If we're going to talk about trips that we've taken, when I was a candidate for office, first trip I took was to visit our troops. And when I went to Israel as a candidate, I didn't take donors. I didn't attend fundraisers. I went to Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum there, to remind myself the nature of evil and why our bond with Israel will be unbreakable. And then I went down to the border towns of Sderot, which had experienced missiles raining down from Hamas. And I saw families there who showed me where missiles had come down near their children's bedrooms. And I was reminded of what that would mean if those were my kids, which is why, as president, we funded an Iron Dome program to stop those missiles. So that's how I've used my travels, when I travel to Israel and when I travel to the region. And the central question at this point is going to be, who's going to be credible to all parties involved?
Obama and Romney on Israel from last night's debate. People will make their own judgments. Michelle, before you go, both men tried to bring the debate back to their positions on the economy several times last night, even though this debate was about world affairs. I guess that's because this is such an economy-focused electorate right now. If last night's debate mattered in any foreign policy sense, how do you think it did?
I'm not really sure it did, because they both, rhetorically, they sound quite different on a lot of these things. But policy-wise, Mitt Romney wasn't offering much different than what President Obama has been doing. And that includes on Israel. I mean, even on Israel, you didn't hear the Mitt Romney line of President Obama throwing Israel under the bus. You had President Obama really coming out strong and talking about the relationship that he's had with military and support of Israel and intelligence sharing with Israel.
I'll come back to Afghanistan one last time. Do you think, if elected, Romney has a new promise to keep now, to stick to that withdrawal of U.S. combat forces by the end of 2014?
He said it very clearly, and if that's not the case, if he becomes president and he tries to keep them there longer, there'll be a lot of political pressure on him.
NPR diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kellerman, thanks a lot for coming on WNYC with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Later in the show, we'll return to the debate in a different kind of way. We'll have a call-in for immigrants from anywhere on how this world affairs debate sounded to you with respect to your country of origin. But coming up next, Liz Winstead, one of the founders of The Daily Show, a star of political comedy in her own right. Liz Winstead next. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.